Well, thank you, Josh, Gina, and Linda for leading us in praise and worship unto our Lord. As we prepare ourselves for the message this morning, go ahead and settle yourself in. Kind of get your pen out and your Bible open and get ready to interact. Go ahead and grab your notes. It's always good to have some notes. You know, there's kind of three ways when we're in a message, we're in a service that we're encouraging to help us listen. You know, when you hear, you learn that way, right? The words that come out, what we're talking about, giving you time to hear them and respond to them, that kind of thing. Then there's another thing, when you look down and you see it written down, so now you're using your eyes, in a sense, to look where we're going and what the things are going. And then when you write, that engages another part of your brain to encourage you to either understand or remember or apply it to your life. Those are three kind of ways that we do. It's like when Tom does the overhead, when he does that, the PowerPoint, he has those verses up there. It has a certain amount of connectedness when he does that, because we're hearing it being said and read and that kind of thing, then we're seeing it, and then if we're writing anything about it, it seems like it really settles in your heart. So settle yourself in, get your outline out. Let's open our Bibles together. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 30 through chapter 12, verse 10. We're going to look at all those today. In our study last week, and it was an important message last week, we saw through Paul's life, as we looked at in through the text and through the Word of God, that as a servant of Christ, part of Paul's credentials of being a servant of Christ, part of Paul's credentials of being a Christian, is suffering for the Lord's sake. That's part of our credentials. We've heard it in some of the passages we read, some of the things that we shared. Part of the credentials of being a Christian is that in some form or manner, there's going to be some sort of hard thing in your life and difficult things, and we would label it like suffering. From last week's message, what we fully realized when we looked at all of that and we went through all of that is that suffering servants, in some form or manner, all of us are. Some more, some less. But in our walk with the Lord, suffering happens. Now, as we drop back into the text, and let me remind you that it's a narrative. You know, from chapter 10 to chapter 13, basically what Paul is doing is writing a narrative about himself. He's kind of telling a story about him and his life, and he's boasting in himself, doing all different kinds of things, a lot of things we've talked about, and I won't cover them all, but it's a narrative. It's not really doctrinal and stating this is what the church should do and this is what we need to do, or it's not really theologically a written part that we can get a lot of theology after. It's really Paul talking about himself, because he's comparing himself to false teachers, because the church was previously led astray by false teachers, led astray, and Paul doesn't want that ever to happen again, and God wrote this so in our lives we would understand that there's always a message, there's a teaching that's out there that wants to lead the church astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. It's out there, it's muted this way and changed that way, but it's always trying to draw us that our life isn't just about a complete devotion to Christ. And so Paul, when he does this comparative thing in his life, that he puts it out there to help us, to protect us. We've been through a lot of different things, but it's a story of his life, a narrative. And where we're at, what he talked about last week and this week, is how he represented the Lord, lived for the Lord through suffering. That's what his focus was. And in that, what we'll see is that God has a purpose for our suffering. He has a purpose for the difficulties of life. He has a purpose for challenges of life, for trials of life. Sometimes we don't see the whole thing, but we know by faith and trusting in him that he does. We're going to look on some of the things that we can really identify that he does. But overall, in the sovereignty of God, we know that God causes all things for good to those that love God, right? It's ultimately for our good and God's glory. Amen? Right, we know that by faith, by trusting in what God has said and declared in his word, that all that is happening in our life as believers in Christ, whatever that might be, God can use all of that, will use all of that for our good and for his glory. But there's some things that we can identify when we look in this text that we can say God uses these things, he uses this suffering for these things. We can identify him in our life, and we see him all the time. So he has a purpose for it. God uses our suffering. God certainly did in Paul's life in a mighty way. He does in our life in a mighty way. So now as Paul continues to boast about his credentials, that's where we're at, he writes this about himself. Look at chapter 11, verse 30 of 2 Corinthians. We'll go through 12:10. I'll make some comments along the way as we kind of go through this. Look at verse 30. He says this, "If I have to boast, He's been boasting all along since chapter 10, and I won't explain all of that, but that's what he's doing. And he's boasted about this and that and this and the things he's been through. But he says, if I have to boast, I will boast to what pertains to my weakness. Then that should startle us. This is my credential. I'm weak in a lot of areas. But God has been strong. I've suffered in this, and I've struggled in that, and I had this in my life and that in life. But you know what? I'm going to boast about those things, because in those, as I turn to the Lord, as I seek the Lord, as I give my life to the Lord, as I trust in Him, follow Him, whatever that might be, it never was my strength. It was the Lord's. So I'm just going to boast in my weaknesses, because then I'm going to see the power of God always at work in my life. That's what he's getting to. That's what he's getting to in our life, what we look at, what we think about. So he says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my weakness. Now think about the things he could have boasted about. He's comparing himself to false teachers, and they were very boastful and talking about all the things in their life, but he could have said, hey, I can boast about how great I am. Paul was pretty great, wouldn't you think? He wrote 13 New Testament books. Paul pretty great? Hey, I got 13 books in the Bible. Well, he hadn't written them all yet, that kind of thing. But, you know, he's writing that. He's doing all of that. God's at work in his life. Hey, I'm going around the whole entire community. People are in throngs coming to Christ. I've started 9 churches so far. Pretty boastful, right? He could do it, right? He could say, I got all this going on. Hey, I got the power. I got the apostolic gift of signs, wonders, and miracles. You want to touch my handkerchief? Because when you touch my handkerchief, you're healed. He could have boasted, right? He could have boasted in the flesh about all the incredible things that he had in his life. Yes, he suffered. Yes, he went through all these things. But if you look through the scriptures and see all of that he is, all the things he did, he was changing the world. And he could have took credit. He said, you know what? The world's turning on the message that I have, and God is using me to turn the world. He could have talked about all of that. Hey, these false guys, what have they been doing? They're just kind of hanging out. They haven't changed much. They don't have any of this. They haven't really started churches. You know, why are you comparing your believing them and not believing me? Look at me. You know, the world is changing because of the Apostle Paul is here by the power of God, through God, but it's me. He could have done that in the flesh. Because he declared in verse 16 and 17 of the same chapter, I'm going to boast in the flesh like they do. But he doesn't. He doesn't do that. Through all of my suffering, look what I did. Hey, let me boast on how I'm affecting the world. What he does is he says, let me boast about how God's effect on him is happening in his weakness. That's incredible when you think about it. Let me boast about how weak I am and how's God's effect on me and my weaknesses. I don't have really much strength. And that's what he's doing through here. Now look at 31 and we'll look through it. He says this, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is blessed forever knows that I am not lying. He says, hey, this is all true. This no exaggeration. This is absolutely true. This is the way it is. This is the way it works. This is how I roll. All this happens because I'm weak. And I've focused and boasted about how weak I am, because when I see it all, I turn to the Lord and let the Lord be my strength. This is all absolutely true. It's all the Lord's strength. It's not me at all. That's what he's saying. I want you, all I'm going to say, and listen to what he says, reading the rest of the text. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to seize me. So he's telling them a story. And I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, so I escaped his hands. Chapter 12, he continues kind of talking about stories. He says, you know, boasting is necessary, though it's not profitable. I can boast it in the flesh, and I can boast about, you know, the thing, how wonderful I am, the visions that I had. He said, but it's necessary in the circumstance that we're talking about, but it's not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body, I do not know, or out of body, I do not know. God knows such a man was caught up in the third heaven. You see the narrative. He's just talking. Verse 3, and I know how such a man, check this out, and I know how such a man, whether in body or apart from the body, I don't know, God knows, but I know how such a man was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. I know how it was done. God did it. It wasn't predicated on me or my understanding or my gift or my thing or my power, my strength. I know how it did. God did it. God showed me that. God did all of that. It was by the power of God. And he says this, on behalf of such a man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast. He says that, you know, if somebody else that happened to him, I would say, wow, that was pretty good that happened to you. I'd boast about that. But on my own behalf, I'm not going to boast about visions. I went to the third heaven. I was caught up into paradise, heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. All of that incredible stuff. He said, I'm not going to boast about that. Verse 5, but on behalf of such a man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except in regard to my weaknesses. That's another incredible statement. All of that's happened, but in regard to all of this, I'm just going to boast how weak I am. How the suffering in my life, how I couldn't do anything about it. I just had to allow God to use it. I had to trust in the Lord. This is what we're getting to. And then verse 6, for if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. You know, all of this is true, and I can speak about it, and it's all true is what he's talking about. But I refrain from this. He said, I'm not going to do it. So that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. That's another incredible statement that we'll get to. I'm not going to talk about all of these kind of things and all of that because I don't want anybody to credit me than more than they see and hear from me. I don't want them to credit me with anything other than that they're looking at my character and my attitude and the way I live my life and my words and all that, and only credit with me with what God has done in my life. Verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of God, of Christ, may dwell in me. Therefore, verse 10, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, if you connect this at all to what we talked about last week, that all of us in some form or manner are going to suffer or be suffering servants for Christ's sake, you heard Paul just say right there, then I just revel, I boast. You know, I'm well content with whatever hard thing comes in my life, whatever difficulty, insult, weakness, whatever that is, I'm just okay with that because I'm most gladly. Therefore, I'll boast about my weaknesses in all this because Christ may dwell, his power may dwell in me. And then he says, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong for Christ's sake. So how I did it that way and read it that way and explained it that way, I want you to connect this in your heart and mind. Now you read that text, and he began in verse 30 with saying, well, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my weakness. And then when you read verse 9 and 10, he tells you why. He tells you why I'm going to boast in my weakness. And he gives us these illustrations and these things that he's went through in his life in a narrative way to help us understand how we grow in our suffering, you might say. He's through this section, he says, I'm well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulty, with suffering that I cannot change, and I will boast about how God used my suffering and my weakness to do through me and in me only what God can do. Only God can change a life. Only God can bring endurance or perseverance or power to go through the things of life, the challenges of life, to the glory of God or for the sake of Christ. Only God... By God's power, can we live rightly or act rightly or love him like he wants us to love him and love others like he's loved us? Where all of us are weak, and he's the only one that's strong. And the false teachers were boasting about how you can be strong, just like something that we were talking about today, or how they are strong, and that it's really, in a sense, just get strong, and then it will all come about. So here is Paul's confession, you guys. Here's his confession in a narrative, so to speak, and God unfolds for us how he uses suffering in our life. You want to know how he uses our suffering? Is that a good thing that interests you? I don't hear really a lot of yeses, but he does, and we're going to see it here, and it's really wonderful, and it's really helpful, and it's really powerful, and it's a hard topic, but a great topic. But that's what we're going to look at. You could basically say we're going to give us 4 reasons God allows suffering in believers' lives. Now, it's not every reason, but it's 4 major reasons. One is to cause believers to be humble. Number one is to cause believers to be humble. God uses suffering in our life to bring us to humility, and we'll see why. And number 2, to draw believers to himself. to draw him to an intimate, close relationship with the Lord, to go to him, to seek him, to be him alone, and that you trust and put your faith in, and that you seek all of your stability from. And number three, to display his grace. God wants to display his grace, the grace of God in and through our lives, and to perfect his power. He wants to work mightily and powerfully in and through our lives, and so he needs a humble believer, one that draws near to him so he can display his grace on how God is at work in his life or her life, and then perfect his power through that life. That's what he did with Paul. And so Paul is illustrating that for us. So the first one, let's look at chapter 11, verse 30 through 12, 7. That's the first idea here, how God uses suffering to cause believers to be humble. Look at it with me. Chapter 11, verse 30 through chapter 12, verse 7. All of this is about how God is working humility in the believer's life. And I thought about this. You know, God wants to humble us. He doesn't want us prideful, because this is the truth. For in pride, we're of no use to him. Did you know that? That makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that make sense? If we're prideful, we're really no use to the God. He's not using us. We're arrogant. We're prideful. We think it's about us. We think it's about our power. We think about how wonderful we are and how we've done this or we've done that. How does God use somebody that they think it's their strength? And I got a couple of illustrations with it when I was looking through the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles, don't turn there. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 12 through 15, and then 32, 24 through 36. Let me just share with you the illustration that's in that. You guys know this passage in 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14, or 15 is what we're looking at. You remember that? The Lord speaking to Solomon, and then it says, if my people humble themselves, you guys know this passage? It's been shared a lot in America for a while. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will what? Forgive them of their sins and what? And heal their land. That's what it's been. That's a prayer. That's what we would want to pray, and that we want to pray for God to do that. But I want you to listen to the context. Solomon, got the Lord speaking to Solomon, and he says this. Hey, Solomon, if I stop the rain, if I bring drought, hey, Solomon, if I send locusts to devour everything, to just eat it all up, hey, Solomon, if I send pestilence among the people, if that happens, suffering, if there comes tremendous suffering, if my people humble themselves, humbling themselves isn't seeking and praying that God heal your land. That's not humbling yourself. That's prideful, saying, if I'll just do this, God will heal my land. You hear what I'm saying? This is the importance of humility. Suffering comes. He says to Solomon, if I bring suffering, if suffering comes upon the land, pestilence, drought, whatever that is, if it comes to the land, and if my people will humble themselves is to bring yourself to humility, to understand that God is in control over everything, that God is the answer to everything, that God is bringing about his plan and purpose in his sovereign hand for his glory, our good, yes, he is. And if we'll humble ourselves and recognize that we're thinking that we're doing it, we're thinking that maybe even that we're in charge of it, that we're thinking that if we would just pray, if we would just do, that God would act upon all of that. If we'll humble ourselves and come seek him and say, Father, forgive us. Lord, help us. We've been arrogant and prideful, and we're humbling ourselves. We know that you're over all of this. And if it's drought, how do we serve you in a drought? If it's pestilence, how do we honor you in a pestilence? That's what he's saying. When suffering comes, if you humble yourself and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then he says, then I'll forgive their sin, heal their land. See, God uses suffering to cause people to be humble. Second illustration out of 32 through 24 and 36, or 26, that it's Hezekiah. Hezekiah is mortally ill. He seeks the Lord, and the Lord helps him. That's what's in the text. Then Hezekiah gives no praise or recognition for the benefit he received. And it says this, because his heart was proud. Right there in the text. Hezekiah is sick and mortally ill, and God comes and helps him, and he doesn't even acknowledge God. He may have gave him a little, you know, thank you, Lord, and then went on my life and didn't recognize that because of the sovereign hand of God, God had healed him. He had given him health. And he didn't sit and praise the Lord and give recognition to it. It says it like this. And he gave no recognition to the benefit he received because his heart was proud. He thought he deserved it. He thought he did the right thing, so he got it. And it says this next. Therefore, the wrath came upon Hezekiah and all the people. Suffering. And then it says this. However, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart. Lord, forgive me for thinking that this was about me or because of me or whatever that was. And then God stopped the wrath. You see, as we look through the scriptures, as we look through the Old Testament, as we're going to look through the New, humility's huge. Because God wants us humble. God opposes the proud, doesn't he? Isn't that in James? Amen, right? So we can't be prideful and think that God's not opposing us, right? If we're walking around arrogant, prideful, thinking more highly of ourselves than I should, God's not okay with that and say, well, you know, we're going to work that out and that kind of thing. No, God's going to say, no, I want to deal with your heart. I want to deal with your heart. I want humility in your life. He'll use suffering. He doesn't always use suffering, but he wants to humble people. He wants humility in our life. He wants us to be humble. He wants to deal with that in our life. And like I said, at times he uses suffering to cause it. He uses our weaknesses to bring it. First way we see in the text, look at Paul's life back in verse 32 and 33. God uses suffering to cause believers to be humble in relying on others. Look what it says in 32, 33. It says this, in Damascus, the ethnarch under the Aretas, the king, which is guarding the city of Damascenes, in order to seize me, and I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and so escaped his hands. He just gives us a little illustration. He says, oh, okay, I was in the city and they were guarding it and I couldn't get out. And so they let me through the big tall wall and they put a hole in it. And they let him through and they laid him down in a basket. But it's Acts 9 is where that's at. And if you want to turn there, that'd be good. Go ahead and turn to Acts 9. We'll look at verses 23, 24, 25. This is a very interesting story that he refers to. And this is how we see that God uses suffering to humble ourselves, to bring us to humility by depending on other people. Acts 9, he begins in Acts 9. You know the story. This is when Saul was converted and he became Paul. And I'll call him Paul through the text. And he was traveling and the sudden light of heaven, verse 3, hit. And he fell to the ground and Jesus says, hey, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm Jesus. You're persecuting me. And so, you know, get up, enter the city, and all that amazing things that happened with him. Jesus speaks to him, talks to him about how empowered Paul is going to be by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, that he's going to go do all of these incredible things. Jesus tells him about this and instills in him that he's going to do this. And then he meets Ananias. And Ananias is with Paul, and then in verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the son of Israel. And in verse 16, for I'll show him how much he must suffer for my sake. So Paul's seen all of this. Paul saw all of this, was empowered by all of this. And then when we get to verse 19, he's in the city. It's not much longer. He's in the city, and it says in verse 19, now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. This is Paul. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he's the Son of God. And then you guys know the story. The people are going, that was Saul. That was the one persecuting the church. Now he's preaching Jesus. What the heck is going on? Right? Are you sure? This guy was killing Christians. That's what he was doing. And Christ saved him, empowered him, and now he's standing in the middle of the synagogues preaching Christ. People are coming to the Lord. He's empowered with signs, wonders, and miracles. He's apostolic, empowered, that he can go and he can raise the dead. He could do all of this. This is what God has empowered him with. He's preaching the gospel. He's just beginning to do this. People are being saved. And in verse 23, it says this. 22. And Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. Then they were watching the gates at night so they might put him to death. And Paul understands the plot. Now think about this. Here he is, empowered by Christ, all that God has done in his life. He told him he's going to preach the gospel. Here he is in the first city preaching the gospel. People are going to come kill him, and he can't do anything about it. Don't you think he had some questions for God at that moment? What in the world? Here you called me all of this. You showed me all I'm going to suffer. Here I am in the first place that I'm at. I've been empowered to do all of this. The first place that I'm at. Here they are. They're going to plot to kill me. They got all the doors. They got them all blocked. They got them all. I can't even get out. I'm going to die. Then the disciples take him up the wall, let him out of the city in a basket. He had to rely on somebody else to save his life. Empowered to do all of that, promised that he's going to do all of this, and then he can't do any of it without relying on somebody else to help him. Let me ask you, isn't that some of the hardest things that brings humility in your life when you suffer health issues or car issues or life issues or something where you have to depend upon somebody else to help you accomplish what you need to accomplish? Right here, Paul understands humility. That this isn't about him and about him and his strength. Listen, all of us struggle with the pride of independency, don't we? Come on, guys, right? Well, all of us have an independent spirit, don't we? All of us struggle to think that in this life, me and God, we're going to go together and we're going to live this life and I'm going to be independent and I'm going to get it all worked out and I'm not going to need to depend on anybody. And then we get older and all of that kind of stuff. And then we have this tremendously difficult, hard time with somebody helping us because what we've built our life upon is that we're going to be independent and I'm going to take care of myself. First and foremost, God brings things, hard things into your life to where you are dependent and relying on somebody else to bring you to humility. Because the other side that I just said isn't God's way, isn't God's thing, isn't what God wants for our life. You know, all the way through the New Testament, the church is built upon us being interdependent upon one another, that we cannot actually live for the Lord in the right manner without being dependent upon each other, that we can't represent the relationship that the church has with Jesus Christ unless we are interdependent upon us in our marriages, interdependent upon the body of Christ, that we rely on each other to hold us accountable, to admonish each other, to encourage each other, to go all through the New Testament scriptures about the church, that what God is building is about a body of Christ, of believers that are dependent upon Christ and God and relying upon each other to hold us accountable to follow the Lord. Boy, that just really challenges our independent spirit, doesn't it? See, but God uses the difficult things in life to bring us to humility. Harold and Roberta are in our shepherding group. They've shared many times about they can't drive anymore, and the things that Roberta has been challenged with. But to rejoice and to be thankful for how the body of Christ is ministering to them, they would say they're better off now than they were before they could drive. And most of us think we are because we've seen them drive in the neighborhood. But see, God wants us humble. You're not supposed to be able to do it alone. Or you're not supposed to be able to do it, you and God. Yes, you want to be dependent upon God, but God says you need to be dependent upon his resources to accomplish what he wants to do. And he won't even empower you with all of them for you to do them. He wants others to help you do them. Humility. That's big, isn't it? That's the illustration. That's what he's talking about. That's why that's there. That's the first way we see humility. Some of the most humbling things are when we have to rely on others because of our weakness. Paul says, I'm going to boast in them. I'm going to boast that my car isn't working in a weakness and I need somebody to run me around. I'm going to boast in that God has provided somebody to help me get around and I can be grateful and thankful and appreciative to them. And I can be the same kind of person in this life. You know, the Bible says help the weak, help those that are weak. And we always read that and think, well, I'm not weak. Who am I supposed to help? In areas of life you're weak, someone's supposed to help you. This is the life of the church. This is what it is. It brings humility that we need each other. Second way God uses suffering to cause us to be humble, by revealing our spiritual condition. Now look at this. It's in verses 1 through 6. By revealing our spiritual condition. Paul writes this, boasting is necessary, though it's not profitable, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. And I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body or, I don't know, or out of body, I don't know, God knows, such a man was caught up into third heaven. And I know how such a man was caught up into third heaven, was caught up into paradise. In the body, I don't know, God knows. And I heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak, verse 4. And on behalf of such a man, I'd boast, but on my own behalf, I won't boast except in regard to my weaknesses. I'm just going to boast in my weaknesses. For I do not wish to boast, I will not, if I do wish to boast, I will be foolish. For I will speak the truth. I can speak the truth in this. I don't want to be foolish in it, though. But I will refrain from all of that, talking about visions and all of those kind of things, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. You know what he's talking about in there? He's saying, I just want it to be about what people see in me and hear from me. You saw it in there. I'm just going to boast about my weakness. I want them to see how God has worked in my life. I want them to hear from me how God works in our life. I want them to see the power of God in my life through my weaknesses. I want them to hear the power of God through my life, through my weaknesses. I want them to see my character and nature and attributes and the way I live and the way I talk and the way God has changed me, and only credit that I've changed by the power of God. I want them to see, I want to reveal my spiritual condition. That's what he's talking about. Do you know what happens in your life when you're squeezed? What happens in your life when you're squeezed, you guys? What happens in your life when the car breaks down and you're squeezed? What comes out? The real you, right? Your real spiritual condition, right? Your real spiritual condition comes out. And it comes out in that you're overwhelmed, that you're frustrated, you don't know what you're going to do. And we're all the same, so I'm not picking on anybody. I got some of my own testimony that I'm going to give here on that. But when those things happen, what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your life, is the spiritual condition you're in. And you know, if nothing bad comes out, if nothing hard comes out, and you're all that, and you're just grunting, I'm just going to be positive, even though it came out, you know your spiritual condition is that you're relying on your own strength to not do what you know what you want to do. But you realize if something positive comes out, if a good attitude comes out, if the right things come out, you recognize, and it wasn't in your own strength, it was in God's work in your life. You recognize that God has empowered you, God is at work in your life, God has changed you, he's molded you, and you start handling things different. Think about all the different ways that you're squeezed in health and in challenges of life and attitudes of the world and all of the different kind of things. Your spiritual condition is revealed in those. And I just want my character to reveal in my life and in my words that God is in charge, that God is guiding me, that he's changing me. That's what Paul is saying in this text, his spiritual condition. It's revealed to you so humility comes. Whether you're tired or hungry or persecuted or afflicted or distressed, if you do not so good, it should bring humility, right? If something happens in your life and you have a bad attitude and bad words come out, shouldn't it bring humility? It's like, wow, I'm kind of prideful here. I thought I deserved that, or that shouldn't happen to me, or God, what's wrong? You let this go, that kind of thing. Am I connecting with you guys? Right? And so when all that comes out, when you respond in that way, humility should come, because it's like, wow, look at the arrogance, Lord. Look at the pride in my life. Look at me, I thought I was supposed to be king. I thought I was supposed to be this. And how did you let this happen? When those things come out in your heart, humility, God's wanting to bring humility in your heart. Am I right? You know, we're not in charge of the world. We're not over it. I prayed about that. How's that going? I'm not as far down the line with God as I thought it would. It's to bring me humility. And if you're like Paul, the right attitude, the right character, the right words come out when you're squeezed. You know it's been God's strength, God's power, not yours. Nobody is strong enough to do any of this. You can grunt it as long as you want to, but at some point it's going to come out and it's just going to spill over on everything. And you haven't let God work in your life to change you because of your arrogance. That's the only thing it is saying about, because we're so prideful to think of that. I'm strong. Guess what? You don't have any strength to do anything correct apart from Christ. This is what God has placed in my heart, what he's been speaking to me. So Paul is saying, I don't want anybody to credit with me anything of all this other stuff, but other than what God has done through my weakness. You know, I can't sometimes believe how much God has changed me. I can't believe it. Although sometimes one's suffering is not pretty. That's a good place for an amen, Krista. But I can't believe how much God has changed me. But my attitude, my character, the words that I say, and I'm humbled by the revealing of my spiritual condition that he has brought about by his power. All I did was deny myself and take up my cross. And God has done this in our lives, and humility comes. So even if the hard thing comes and you handle it right way, humility comes because you know, man, God, thank you for helping me become the person that's like Christ that handles those things in that way. Help me continue in that. And when you handle it in a wrong way, it comes out, Lord, help me. Bring me to a humble place because this is a weakness of mine, and I want your strength in this. So he brings humility because of suffering for us to rely on others and to reveal our spiritual condition. Thirdly, how God uses this to cause us to be humble is by keeping you humble. You've got some sort of humility and form in your life. All of us do. Where God has worked, where he's empowered us, where he's changed us and our character and that, and he wants to keep you humble. Look at what he did to Paul, verse 7. He said this, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, Paul is the Apostle Paul, and you know, to be caught up in paradise and see all the revelations and know how you're going to suffer and see all those kind of things. And God said, you know, humility's coming to Paul. Paul is going to be a humble man. God's going to work, empower him. He's going to boast in his weaknesses, but he has these things in life, and I want to keep him humble, so he's going to have this thorn in his flesh forever. The suffering is never going to leave him. It's to keep Paul humble. Now, you know, it doesn't matter what the thorn is. God doesn't tell us what the thorn is. God, we could all go into big, deep understanding and spend a whole week in one passage and go in here and find out what the thorn is. Doesn't matter. God said it didn't matter because he didn't tell us. What it is, it's some sort of suffering that Paul's going through that kept him humble his entire life. That can be anything, can it? That can be some sort of challenge you face in your life, some sort of thing you have in your life that doesn't go away, whatever it might be. It could be something in there. Maybe you have, you know, an eye issue. Maybe you have a reading issue. Maybe you have a leg issue, a knee issue, whatever it might be, but it's there, and you're seeing, you might pray for it like he did three times here, and it doesn't go away, but it's there to keep you humble. Who in the room wants to be kept humble? Wow, about four of you, huh? Wow, you know what? If we're not going to be in humility, then God might cause some things in our life to bring humility. How many of us want to be just humble? There you go. We all just want to be humble, right? Don't we want to be useful to God? We want to be, God use us in a mighty way through this world and all different kind of things, in our family, with our kids, in our community, all that kind of things. Humility is how that's going to happen. It's not about how good you've done or how high you are. It's about how humble you are, how God uses it. And he used this one thing to keep Paul humble. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then come dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. Paul emphasized weakness. He boasted about it to remain humble. Like King Nebuchadnezzar said, God is able to humble those who walk in pride. Why? To be useful to God for Christ's sake. King Nebuchadnezzar said that. How was he humbled? Anybody remember? Say it loud. How was he humbled? What was that, Leanna? What happened? Yeah, he turned into a four-legged animal, right? And he was eating the grass in the field for a long time, right? Anybody want to be humbled that way? I'm not saying God will be. I'm just saying, and he came out and said, whoa, man, God can take the pride of anybody and make it humble. Second major theme, and we'll buzz through these real quick. Second major theme on how God uses suffering to draw believers to himself. Look at verse 8. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. He came begging the Lord. He came seeking the Lord. He came to him and said, hey, you know, I'm imploring. I'm here with you. I'm seeking after you. Sometimes to get you to seek the Lord, to really go after him, hard things come. Health, finances, kids, marriage, job, whatever. Why would God allow that? Why would God allow hard things? Okay, let me ask you a question. Where does your help come from? You sure? It doesn't come from the loan department? Where does your rest come for the weary? Where? Are you sure it's not on the coast? It's great there. No problem going there. It's no problem to have a loan. None of that, right? But who is your rock? Who is your strength? Who do you take refuge in? Have you ever read Psalm 25, you guys? You should read Psalm 25. You should read it more than once. Let me give you a little highlight. And Psalm 25 is everything why God wants to draw us to himself. He lifts our soul. He guards our life. He shows us the way. He teaches us the path. He leads us in truth. He is where forgiveness is. He is the one who instructs us. Verse 9 and 10 say, he leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble his way. He tells us which way, which path to choose, what direction to go, when on different paths, different choices. Our soul dwells securely with him. He reveals the intimate truths for us about him and about truth. He plucks our feet out of the trap. He brings us out of despair. He brings us out of depression. He is the one we stand upon. He preserves us and redeems us from out of all trouble. And like a perfect father, he has love for his children. He seeks our very best, and it's in him and from him. You see, why God causes suffering is to cause us to be humble, to draw us to him, because he's the answer to it all. It isn't anywhere else. And we're challenged with that in our life. We're not walking humbly. We have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We're being challenged. We looked at that at Sunday school today. If you're in Sunday school, that just attaches to you for you to understand that here David is a man after God's own heart, and he just lets pride lead in his life, and he doesn't draw near to God, and then he's killing somebody because he had an adultery affair. Let me tell you, if you don't accept the humility of God to humble us and to bring us to a place to where we're seeking him and trusting in him, those sins of the flesh, lust of the flesh, and pride will drag us everywhere. You see why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve, you'll be led astray from a simple devotion to Christ. Because God uses these hard things in our life to bring us to humility and draw us to him and to display his grace. Look what it says in verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. God says, the grace that I have lavished upon you, the grace that is available to you, the grace that you have received in faith in Jesus Christ is sufficient for you. It's more than enough to suffer for my sake. It's enough to overcome sin. It's enough to overcome temptation. It's enough to endure suffering. It's enough to endure disappointment and pain and depression and heartache. It's enough to obey God's word. It's enough to serve God effectively. And it's enough to do all that you do to the glory of God. My grace is sufficient for you. Those are in those verses that are in the outline there. And he tells Paul, yeah, I know it's hard. And I know it's difficult. And I know you're in pain. And I know this is, but this has a purpose in your life. This hard thing has a purpose in your life. It's to bring humility in your life for you to be useful, to keep you humble. It's to draw you to me where all the strength is. It's all in me. And I can display my grace in your life. I can flow it through your life. It's the grace of God for you to be all of this. When we draw near to God in humility, he gives us the grace and mercy we need in the moment. God displays his grace in your continued living for him. You look at all what Paul went through in verses 23 through 29 in chapter 11, and God's grace is displayed all through that. I want you to think for a moment, and I can wrap this up in a few minutes. How has God displayed his grace in your life? How's the hard things in your life that have happened to you in your life, whether it was this, whether it was that? I can look about and I can see a lot of hard things that happened in your life, and I can tell you how God displayed his grace. I can see your character and your attributes and how when at first maybe you were suffering, maybe you were having a hard time, and then you trusted in the Lord and you're believing in him and praying to him, and then God was changing your character. It's interesting. Right now I'm looking around and I can see different people. I'm not going to bring out their names because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you know that God has displayed his grace through your life. He's perfected his power through your life, hasn't he? The power of God to transform anybody's life, to change you, to help you have the right attitude and to rejoice in the difficult things, to help you have patience, to have kindness, to have gentleness, to have perseverance, to have endurance, to have all those things that are in your life. And that you, walked through them, that you endured through them, that you kept trusting in the Lord through them, that you kept praising God in them. Whatever the outcome was, you just kept faithful to the Lord and seeking Him and knowing Him, and you grew closer to Him, and all those kind of happens. That's happened in our lives, isn't it? That happens in our life when we become humble and we draw near to the Lord. He displays His grace and He perfects His power. That's why, look at verse 9. See, that happens in our life when we walk in humility and we draw near to the Lord. When we're not prideful, when we don't think it's us. When we know it's only Him and that His grace is sufficient. When we know all of that and God is doing all this, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That helped me understand what I talked about today in my study, what that said. Doesn't that help you with what that said? And then most gladly, Lord, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. To where I struggled here and had no power to change here, I had to rely on somebody else. To where you revealed my character and my nature, you revealed my spiritual condition, and I seen that it wasn't where you really wanted it to be, and I drew near to you. Where that hard thing kept being there because you just wanted me to keep my humble because you wanted to change my life, Lord. You wanted to work in my life. You wanted to display your grace through me and perfect your power through me for your glory. I'm gonna boast about my weaknesses. Most gladly I will recognize those because that's where God is really at work in our lives. One author said it like this. It is when believers are out of answers, when they're out of self-confidence and strength with nowhere else to turn but to God, that when they are in the position to be most effective. Physical suffering, mental anguish, disappointments, unfulfillment, and failure squeeze the impurities out of believers' lives, making them pure channels through which God's power can overflow. End quote. That's why verse 10 is there, and we'll close with this, just the reading of it, and then we'll pray. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that even hard things you've designed in this life and in our life and in humanity and in this creation, even the hard things, the suffering or persecution or difficult things that we go through or whatever hard thing that will be in our life, Lord, that you use it. That you have a purpose for it. Help us to embrace that, Lord, in the next things that are hard for us. Whether somebody persecutes us, whether we're in insults or challenges or difficulties or physical illness or whatever that might be, help us, Lord, in each one of those now from here on forward, even in our life, to recognize, all right, Lord, reveal to me where I'm at. Help me with my humility. Help me to be grateful and thankful for who you've provided to help me. Help me to be thankful and grateful for that you want to change this wrong attitude or this wrong perspective and give me a Christian worldview or a God's worldview on what's going on, that you want to help me and change me who I am. And by your grace being displayed through my life, you'll change me and power will be perfected in my weakness, that you will make me a person that struggles with anger as the Lord works in your life, as a person that comes out that anger isn't the issue anymore. And we have nowhere else to go to say, the Lord, change me. So we thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Whatever that might be in our hearts and minds today, whatever that you are working on, whatever you're revealing to each and every one of us today, Lord, I pray that we would come to you humbly. For I know, Lord, in your word what it says, if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll give recognition that it's you and you alone in charge of all of this and that you're wanting to do a mighty work in the world and in our lives, that if we'll humble ourselves and then come and pray and seek you. and draw near to you and who you are and what you have said, and ask, Lord, for you to work in our heart and change us. And then we'll turn and we'll repent and we'll change from our wicked ways, that you would heal us, Lord. That you would rescue us from ourselves. We just praise you for this day and thank you in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.